I'm Reverend Paul Unger, retired United Methodist minister and friend of Pastor Jim Bortel. That's what it says here in the bulletin, and I'm glad to be his friend and to substitute for him today. What a joy it is to be with this congregation. I got hungry during the children's time, and it's nice to be among friends and some with whom we live at Westminster Village. I want to preach on this topic today about being flawed but faithful. It's going to end up to be about Peter, Simon Peter, and about us. But I want to start with a story about Nadia Boltz Weber. Pastor Weber, Pastor Nadia Weber is a Lutheran pastor. She was the founding pastor of a church in Denver, Colorado, by the name of the House of All Sinners and Saints. And when people would decide they wanted to join the church where she was pastor, she would tell them, "Okay, glad you're interested to join us, but let me warn you, you might want to think twice about it. Because when you join this church, there'll be a time sometime when you'll probably be disappointed in us. Something that someone says or doesn't say, does or doesn't do, there'll be a time when you'll be disappointed in this church. You sure you want to join a church like this?" And she said, "Maybe there'll be a time when we're disappointed in you. Maybe it's something you do or don't or say or won't. Maybe there'll be a time when we're disappointed in each other. Are you sure you want to join a church like this?" And then she tells them a story of a time in her ministry that goes like this. A couple from the church came to say they wanted to get married in the church. And so they agreed on the date. The couple ordered their invitations, made their reservations for their reception, all the things you do to prepare for a wedding. And suddenly Pastor Nadia realized that she had double booked the date. It wasn't a convenient double book at all because, as it turns out, she had agreed to make a speaking arrangement on a cruise ship for a seminar, out of state, of course. So she went to the couple. She said, "Let me tell you, can you rearrange the date?" They said, "We've ordered the invitations. The bridesmaids have their flowers, and we can't rearrange the date." And so she went to the sponsors of the seminar and wondered if there's some different arrangement. They said, "Are you kidding? This is on a cruise. You're the keynote speaker. We can't change the date. Now, what do? You're double booked. Impossible. Contradiction of dates." And she goes back to the couple. "Is there a chance you can..." No. We can't do that." The couple said to her, "You know, you remember when we joined this church, you said we'd be disappointed sometime." "Well," she said, "we're so disappointed. But we've talked to the associate pastor. And the associate pastor has agreed to do our wedding. And so we forgive you. You go and do a good job on your speaking seminar." And so she did. But let me tell you, she said, "Let me tell you what I did during the very speech that I was giving on the seminar. I stopped in the middle of the presentation and I said, 'I want to stop a moment and tell you something. At this very hour, a couple in my church is being married, And I was to do the wedding. And she told them the story. And then she said, would you pause with me for a moment while we say a prayer for that couple that I let down? And so there they are. They say a prayer for this couple that none of them knew, but all of them grew in appreciation for the story that she told that was about a mistake that she had made and the grace of the couple to forgive her. But more than that, she said, the grace of Jesus Christ to make it all good. Well, Peter stood in that kind of situation again and again and again. Peter, who in our scripture this morning had promised never to deny Jesus. And Jesus said, be careful what you promise, Peter. And that very night, that very hour of the crucifixion, Peter denied our Lord three times. And the cock crew, and he remembered what he had promised and how he had failed. Flawed, a flawed disciple. Again and again in Jesus, in Peter's ministry, in being a disciple of Jesus Christ, he makes dumb mistakes. He commits errors, flawed. He was not a perfect disciple at all. And he messes it up again and again at the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember, Jesus said, watch and pray with me, and then what? How many times that time did he fall asleep on the watch? And Jesus says to him, could you not wait but 1 hour for me? Could you not watch with me? And then he cuts off a soldier's ear, and Jesus has to fix that. Who wants to join a church where people let Jesus down again and again and time after time? And Reverend Nadia said, think twice before you join this church. I was a district superintendent of the United Methodist Church during my active ministry. I had 93 churches. I was in Peoria, the same time Jim Bortel was superintendent in Champaign. We were on the same cabinet. But when I was a superintendent in Peoria, I was reminded to work for the bishop on the cabinet is a big deal. You represent the church. And so one Sunday morning, the church in Kewanee called. And the pastor said, are you on your way yet? And I said, what do you mean? He said, you know you're supposed to preach this morning in Kewanee at our church. And I said, I don't even have it written down. I hadn't double booked. I hadn't booked at all. And I said, David, I you have to forgive me. I'll pick any other date. I'll clear my schedule. I'll come. I'll come any day. And so he did, and it wasn't too far in the distance. And I came. I arrived an hour early at the church. And I'm greeting people on the way in. And telling them I'm glad to see them. And a woman said to me, well, you sure got here early. And I said, yeah, I wanted to greet people. And she didn't know who I was or what my story had been. She said, well, good for you. She said, a few Sundays ago, a big shot. A big shot was to preach here. And he didn't even show up. She said, can you believe it? I said, I can't believe that. I didn't see any need to tell her anymore. But I knew I knew the flaw. I knew the problem. I knew who the problem was. We are those same people, like Peter, that again and again let our Lord down, let the church down, let the people down, because we didn't show up, or we showed up and didn't do it right or do it well. Simon Peter was a big shot disciple who was flawed but faithful. Adam Hamilton writes a book about Simon Peter. The title of the book, Simon Peter, and Adam Hamilton said that Peter is named over 120 times in the New Testament. He was a big leader of the early church. He was a big shot in the early church. And yet, according to Hamilton, Peter was confused, afraid, and faltering again and again. And he goes over the list of those events. You would remember them well, about Peter's doubt, about Peter's... You remember that Peter had said to Jesus, Peter has told Jesus that he would never go to his death in Jerusalem, and Jesus has to call Peter Satan and says, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me." You get the point. This is a leading disciple, flawed, not just double-booked, seriously flawed, theologically in error, and we could go on and on. That's the first part, but then also faithful. And it's this part that makes Peter so available to us to identify with and to become like if we can. There's a hymn that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon God's word. And so along the way, here's Simon Peter, when Jesus says to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Bingo. He gets it exactly right this time. He understood who Christ was and how important that is. Here's the point, I think, at the take-home message, I think. We are the flawed people too. Each and every one, we get it mixed up and messed up. We forget, we double book, we neglect to book at all. We forget what we have promised. We even have prayers of common confession that we're all in it together. The prayer in the Common Book of Prayer, 1662, says, "We acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty." That's the common prayer that we share because of the common burden we have of not fulfilling the expectation that God would have of us in Jesus Christ. In issues of social justice and peacemaking and protecting our environment and defending human rights, the kind of things that you as a congregation are very good at and well known for, we also understand that we sometimes do not live up to our obligations and expectations and opportunities. All of us have room for that kind of growth. When Pastor Nadia, that we referred to earlier, tells the story of her double booking, she ends up as to tell about the grace of God that came forth through that experience, as she was able to share it with the people in the seminar and so forth. The grace of God, when our flaws reveal that it's God's grace upon which we always depend and are ever dependent, then our flaws lead us to faithfulness. And that's the kind of experience that we've learned to depend on and learn to appreciate. Adam Hamilton, who wrote the book about Simon Peter, tells about his congregation in Kansas, the Church of the Resurrection, which is it's the largest church in Methodism. It's 22,000 members. And he said when he preaches, the thing that his congregation loves best is when he tells a story about something that he did wrong, or something that he did that was messed up, or he missed the point, or he failed, or something. The congregation loves it because they see themselves in the story and they find themselves in the grace of God that transcends the flaws and makes us also faithful. It's only then that we understand what I call the paradox of grace. We find God's grace most often in the places where we have had weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power." That's our story. That's how we describe ourselves, dependent upon God's grace in the midst of our being broken and human. I'll close with this. Do you ever wonder why Jesus used broken bread for the sacrament of remembrance? Broken bread and a shared cup which is so easily spilled. I've served a number of churches, and in every church I've ever served, there are places around the serving table where have been spilled the juice from the sacrament. And not only that, sometimes members who receive the sacrament take home a reminder of the sacrament of the juice that's been spilled on them. You may have done that yourself. You take a bit of the juice home with you on your shirt or blouse. The broken bread, the spilled cup, that are the sacrament, the items of the sacrament in the Lord's Supper, which we receive. Jesus, by his grace, comes in brokenness, comes in crucifixion, to make us whole. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. But even so, reclothe us in our rightful mind and pure lives, thy service find. And in deeper reverence, praise.